Okay, so in this stage, we are beginning to recognize that there is a summit for us, that there is much higher ground for us to take in the name of Jesus Christ, through God's word, through God's principles, through God's ways, through His purpose in our life. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. In the previous stage, this summit was invisible to us. And hopefully by now, if you're watching this video, you're one whose eyes have been opened. You've at least been born again, as evidenced by the new creation that exists in your life and heart. You were once like this, and now you're like this. And as you read the Bible, you begin to see the marks that the Bible identifies with true saving faith are more and more being found in your life. Now, at some point, it could be even now through this video series, you have begun to question, are you in possession of all that the Father has for you? Perhaps feeling disgruntled about church, about fellowship, about the quality of so-called Western modern Christianity.
How long have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, pretty much my whole life, since I was a very young girl. I think it's only been in the last year or two that I've really felt the presence and the Spirit of Christ. Before that, now that I look back, it just seems very watered down and very fake, almost like a facade.
And here's the shock. I had no idea that my whole life, eating an orange, I'm eating something that is not made by God. I had no idea that this orange is made entirely, basically, by man. All of these Christian denominations, or hybrids as I will call them, man has done this to accommodate his own taste.
It just seems very watered down and very fake, almost like a facade.
Man has not been pleased with what God made originally, and he has then taken and said, okay, hold on a second. What if we take a little bit of this from Christianity and we mix it with some of our own traditions over here?
My family, it was almost like we were pretending with the whole Christianity thing and just going through the motions, following everybody else, if that makes sense. That's what it felt like, not really understanding who God really was and what it was all about. The last 2 years have just been overwhelming. So I was questioning everything a couple of years ago. Just everything sort of hit me, and I don't even know why. Everything just seemed, there was just questions to everything in my life at that point. Everything I had known about God and the church, and was it right? Was I being taught the right? There was just so many different religions out there and so many different beliefs, and was the Seventh-day Adventist church that I was being brought up in correct? They just seemed, as an adult, there seemed to be so many things that just didn't sit right. There was just a lot of things that I was questioning.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
So I wasn't going to church there because God had basically told me, like, when I first moved out here, I'm not calling you to a church, I'm calling you to myself. So I'm like, okay, I'm just not going to church, which I'm very, very, very grateful for now, because I know the churches that I used to go to were very deceptive and definitely helped take me away from God, which sounds the opposite of what churches are supposed to do. But yeah, so
at some point, maybe you felt in your heart a real disconnect between your spiritual experiences and what you see in the Bible. Perhaps at some point you have begun to recognize there is a chasm that exists between what your current soul level spiritual faith and experience is and what the Bible seems to paint should be your spiritual experience as a Christian.
The next question was, how has my definition of a Christian changed since I have listened and learned through all of these videos and recordings? I thought I had been a Christian all my life. I've been a good person, always tried to do right by others, help other people. I was part of a church for a long time, very active, raised my children in a Christian home. I thought I was doing right. But as I studied and listened to the recordings, I found out that there was more. Most of it was the obedience. Obedience that you never think of. That you're just not quite in check with God.
Perhaps you have seen the summit of fullness in Christ in someone else. It could have been a YouTube video. It could have been a story that you heard.
Yeah, so I jumped on YouTube and just started typing in random questions, you know, about the Sabbath, the commandments, religions. And one of your videos popped up as I was scrolling through. I just wanted more. I needed to hear more. And I was actually getting some answers that felt right. And I just started praying to God before I would listen to you.
My name is Michael Criswell. By the time I was 34, I had overcome both a deeply troubled and insecure childhood and a very public and costly business failure, and was now being called the next Zig Ziglar or great motivational speaker by many of my clients. The high point came in 2009 when I was approached by the largest seminar company in the world about sharing the platform with some of the best speakers in the business. I achieved the measure of the good life that most only dream of, only to then be left feeling deeply divided in my soul between my love for God and my desire for more success. After confessing my heart to the Lord, I began to experience a very dramatic set of events that would forever change my life and what I believed about God, the devil, people, and the good life. These are the lessons that I'm learning along the way.
You're just such an everyday person that God has worked through, and your testimony, and you've shared everything along the way, not just the good, the bad as well. And you've not hid anything or kept anything back. You know, your tears, your laughter, all of it. Like, it's, and to me, that's so real. And that's what I needed, I guess.
It could have been a neighbor, someone that you fellowship with in church, but between you looking and examining your heart in humility, recognizing that when you read the Bible, you're not in possession of what Jesus Christ himself said you should be in possession of.
Through your ministry and what God's done in Leo and his relationship and marriage, like, it's made me question a lot of things that I thought was God in the past, which is scary and awesome at the same time, because I feel like God's helping me with discernment. Like, was that really me? Like, I...
The seven things that I've talked about for years that are marks, unique blessings that Jesus Christ said all true followers of his would have. So on our website, if you go to teaching and then examine your faith, also be sure to check out Counterfeit Jesus? If you select examine your faith and then you scroll down just maybe about halfway, I would recommend that you watch all of these videos if you haven't had a chance. And I would recommend that you read these beautiful, powerful quotes of warning, where you can see men like A.W. Pink saying, "In the past, there have been thousands just as confident that they had been genuinely saved and were truly resting in the merits of the finished work of Christ to take them safely through to heaven as you may be. Nevertheless, they are now in the torments of hell. Their confidence was a carnal one. Their, quote, faith no better than that which the demons have. So cocksure were they that they were born again so many years ago, they refused to heed the command of 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves, and now it is too late. Men like Charles Spurgeon saying, many professors are deceived. When our role shall be revised at last, how many of our more than 2,000 members will be found to be pretenders unto godliness? Oh, my brethren, I conjure you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was not shed to make you hypocrites, but shed that a sincere people might show forth his praise. I beseech you, search and look, lest at last it be said of you, many, many tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Brothers and sisters, I have gone through and compiled all of these warnings from men far more godly, far more famous than me. I've recorded these messages for you, reminding you that many will say, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. If you haven't listened to, you accepted Jesus, but has he accepted you? Please listen to it. If you have not heard the message, is your faith a Hebrews 11 faith? Meaning, if God was telling the story of your faith, could he write you into the book of Hebrews where he defines what saving faith is? But this brings me to the seven marks that I've been preaching for the past 14 years to people that I saw. These are the seven marks or blessings Jesus promised to all of his true followers. If you are missing these marks, like I was for the first 20 years of believing in Jesus, you can know that something is seriously wrong and that your faith is not the saving faith which Jesus preached and promised to bless. Perhaps you're among the hundreds of millions who have believed the easy believism gospel of our time, which is a totally different and false gospel, which proclaims that, quote, Jesus did it all. And you simply have to believe in the finished work of Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I believed this lie of the modern church for 20 years, and I had none of the marks and blessings below which Jesus promised. My faith was dead. I had the common grace, which God gives even to the wicked and the unrighteous. See Matthew 5:45 and on. But I saw none of the blessings that he promised below, all of which I can now praise God for being in possession of today when I came out of the counterfeit faith. Please examine yourself to see if you are in possession of the seven marks below, which Jesus said would be a part of all true followers of his faith. Number one, divine provision that transcends human sufficiency or the common grace. The common things that I saw even among the pagan Indians that I lived amongst in India in 2016. Matthew 6:31-34.
Hey, it is September 10th on a Monday morning, the first Monday of the school year here, and I'm in my car driving to work, and I just arrived, and I want to tell you guys about what happened. Something amazing just happened. So here I am, I'm driving. Sometimes I listen to a Bible app on the way to work, and today I happen to be listening to, in the book of Genesis, working my way through the whole Bible, listening to Genesis chapter 22. If you remember anything about Genesis 22, it is the story of Abraham, who was called by God to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar. And as I'm, a story I've listened to many times, and as I'm driving, I'm listening to Genesis chapter 22. I get to the portion where Abraham has to sacrifice his son. He goes to do it. God calls him, says don't do it. The ram is shown. He sacrifices the ram and he calls the mount where of the sacrifice Jehovah Jireh. Now, if you know Jehovah Jireh, it means the Lord will provide. And as I'm listening to that portion of scripture, I'm not kidding, my phone rings. So the app gets cut off by the incoming phone call. I answer the phone call. Who is it? It's my mom. It says, Mom, Nigel, you need to call the other school that was going to offer you the job. because they want to offer you the job. So I'm like, okay. So I stop the app, I call the school, and sure enough, I speak with the principal of the school, who wasn't there. I had to kind of wait a few minutes. They went to find her, and she says, Nigel, I want to offer you the job. And so the job, it's a permanent job at the Peel District School Board. So as I'm listening to this, to the scripture, literally the same passage, like a few verses later, I think Genesis 22, near the end of it, the phone, the app gets cut off, and the phone rings, and it's God providing me with a job.
Jesus said he was bringing to all of his true followers a peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of life circumstances. See John 14, 27.
This, I can say, was the first time that I really came to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, was when I had this experience with him. And I felt the Lord speak to me just like a trumpet. Things won't always happen in your time. And I just felt God's presence just like a blanket of peace covering me. It was just the most indescribable peace and joy and love in my heart like I've never experienced before.
Jesus promised a rest for your weary soul from legalism and the burden of sin. See Matthew 11, 27 through 29. Jesus promised freedom from all lifestyle and practiced sin.
And also, as I was trying to overcome sexual immorality, a pornography addiction that caused me to hurt a person a lot, of course. Right.
Brother, this is a testimony that has happened in this place, in the lonely place, in the desert, where God burnt off a lot of things off my life, which one of them was the giant of pornography.
My brother or my sister, are you free from sin? John 8, 31 through 36. Jesus promised a contentment in Christ, such that you would have no thirst or hunger for the things in the world. I'm a guy who liked all the stuff. I wanted all the things, all the trips. I loved all that stuff. And now I could care less about it. Because when you experience God, when you find Him, and He lets you know Him, everything else pales in comparison.
Nothing compares to those moments in the mountain where I didn't want to walk away from His presence and go back to the world. I just wanted to stay with Him.
I mean, pales in comparison. I want you to experience that. I want you to know what the transformational power of Christ can do in your life. I don't want you to continue to chase illusions that you think for sure taste like steak. And when you get there, you discover they taste like water.
I try to go and enjoy and all this stuff, you know, and like what you would call, you know, like quote unquote enjoy with your friends and stuff. Nothing worked, nothing. I tried everything.
And you used up 3/4 of the tank of gas to get there. God is all you need. And He will reveal Himself to you, and He will let you find Him. And He will change you in ways you could never imagine. My friend, He is faithful. These tears that you see are tears of unbelievable joy and a hope and a desire that you will get this, that you will stop chasing false gods, that you will see that we have been born in a land of lies and deception. Do you still long? Do you still hunger? Do you still pine after things in the world? John 4, 13 through 14. Number 6, clear, unambiguous answers to prayer. In John 15, 5 through 9, Jesus promised that if His words remained in us, meaning we remained obedient to Him, that we could ask Him for whatever we wish, and it would be given to us. Because it was to His Father's glory that we bear much fruit, proving ourselves and showing ourselves to be His disciples. This means that you'll have clear, unambiguous answers to prayer, not just to you, but to other people for the glory of God. I mean, it was a modern day Red Sea parting. I mean, it was just incredible. And I just walked right through it all.
But at the same time, He's throwing His hand up in the air and He's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You promised you would deliver me. You did deliver me. I will spend the rest of my life telling everybody what you did for me this day. People doubted, but I knew, and you did exactly what you promised you would do for me. We let him catch his breath. We went out to dinner with friends, kind of a little celebration. And as we're leaving the restaurant, it occurred to me that Michael's God really did listen to him. And I said to him from the back seat of the car, Michael, your God really listens to you. And he turned around and he said to me, Mom, it's the other way around. I listen to my God.
There was a man who has a YouTube channel who's teaching this lie of Jesus did it all, finished work of Jesus Christ lie that the multitude of people who call themselves the Christians believe. And I simply asked him, I said, Johnny, on my website, I've recorded hundreds of remarkable answers to prayer. Can you please point me to your website where you can show me, standing against my faith and teaching, that you have as many, if not more, clear, unambiguous answers to prayer as I do? For the last 12 years, I've seen God do the impossible over and over, but I have never seen anything like what he was about to show me. Like a fireworks show, this was going to be a type of a grand finale, vindicating his hand.
Here it comes. Can't believe it. This is just so surreal.
And his glory in mine, the most perplexing of testimonies. He was not able to answer this question at all. He was not able to produce any clear, unambiguous answers to prayer. And anyone who's followed this channel has seen for the last 14 years, I have recorded for the glory of God, exactly as it says in John 15, 5-9, showing myself to be his disciples, because it is to God's glory, I've shown dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of clear, unambiguous answers to prayer that I never had for the first 20 years of my life. I had common grace, brothers and sisters. I saw even some miracle things happen that God did in order to help get me to a place of brokenness to where I would eventually collapse, walk away from the counterfeit, and begin climbing the summit in authentic saving faith with him. But I did not have anything compared to what I have now. My phone rings and it is Doug Schroeder from Timbercraft Tiny Homes. He said, man, I'll help you. He said, when you get that trailer, you come on down and bring it down to the shop and we'll get it all laid out and show you how to do it all. I said, Doug, what a blessing. He says, but man, I have something else I want to ask you. And now listen to the incredible provision God was going to make in the area of finances to help me build this house. And ask yourself this, could you possibly imagine something like this happening if God himself didn't do it? Remembering again, God asked me to step out in faith to build this house without having any idea where the resources were going to come from in order to see it to its completion. That was not my responsibility, that was his. My responsibility was to trust and obey.
He said, really, I need some help with videos. He said, you know, I'll even pay you, man. He said, if you could come down and maybe do some videos. I looked at some of your videos and you do some nice cuts and transitions and the music and all that. And I said, yeah, oh, I can absolutely help you with that. He said, man, I'd pay you to do that. I said, no, don't pay me. I said, let's trade. I need a tiny house. I said, we can trade some services. He goes, man, fair enough. So what an amazing answer to prayer. It never fails to wait for God to act on your behalf. God's name is to be forever praised. Amen.
In prayer on June 23rd, 2021, my wife Lisa was in prayer and the idea of us bringing the tiny house to New Zealand would not leave her mind. That day, we began praying about God sending us a $40,000 fleece to let us know if he truly wanted us to ship the house to New Zealand. Exactly 5 days later, the biblical number for God's grace, on June 28th, 2021, we received notification of a $44,444 donation that was being made to us. The tiny house was towed away from my land to make its 8,000-mile-plus journey to Auckland, New Zealand on August 2nd, 2021, exactly 40 days to the day after Lisa had those thoughts in prayer that would just not go away. Then, the tiny house spent its first official day parked in Auckland, New Zealand port on September 11th, 2021, exactly 777 days from that July 27th, first day of land prep. Number seven, the abiding joy of the Lord. Do you have it? It doesn't mean in your flesh you don't feel sometimes a few difficulties. It doesn't mean that you don't have sometimes some negative thoughts, but the overall trend of your life and heart is the abiding joy of the Lord. Below the difficult, stormy, wind-tossed surface waters of your life, there should be a river of peace flowing under the surface. I have it. I never had it for the first 20 years of believing Jesus did it all. The finished work of Jesus' gospel, it's all a lie. Let me tell you, if you believe Christianity is easy, it's because you do not believe in the cross. You don't have the cross. You have a crossless Christianity, which cannot save you. You have yet to understand that if anyone would come after me, Jesus said, he must take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. If you don't have a cross on your back, if you're not carrying the cross of Jesus Christ, denying yourself to do the Lord's will, you have something that is very, very easy. I want to remind you of what I recently told my twin brother about the big issue that people trip over in the life of the thief on the cross. Take a look at this. Wait. What do you mean it's hard to be a Christian and hard to be saved? I mean, I'm a Christian, and I don't think it's hard to be saved at all. I mean, all a person has to do is believe in Jesus as the Son of God and have, you know, him be their savior. How hard is that? Sounds to me like, are you still one of these guys under the law, or maybe you haven't understood the grace of Jesus Christ yet?
Consider this. Having your sins forgiven and being justified before God by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is relatively easy for most.
Right.
However, being sanctified and living as the righteous do by faith all the way until you reach the end of your life or first even spiritual maturity, that's going to cost you everything.
Hold on a second. You sound to me like you're preaching what they call a works-based gospel. Like, what about the thief on the cross? He was saved easily and instantly. It wasn't hard for him to be saved. Jesus said that he would be with him today in
paradise. I'll give you that. Absolutely, indeed. But for those who I believe will meet him in heaven, I feel absolutely 100% confident that he will be the first one to point out himself that it is much easier to quickly die for Jesus than it is to actually live for him day by day in faith in this life.
But he was still saved easily by faith.
I agree again. Think about this, though. The thief on the cross never had to actually live his faith. He never had to be tested in his faith. He never had to persevere in his faith. I mean, think about this. Have you realized that the thief on the cross never had to deny himself, never had to carry his cross for Christ? He was on that cross for his sins. Because he was a criminal, not because of his faith or because of his Savior. He never had to strain to hear or discern God's will for his life.
Okay.
He never had to go against his pathetic nature and sacrifice himself to do the will of God. He never had his faith tested. He never had to testify about his faith to friends or families who would then turn around and completely misunderstand him and persecute him for it. He never had to battle against spiritual warfare, temptations to sin. He never lost his job. He never lost his money or any part of his life in this world because of his faith in Christ.
Okay.
That guy, bless his cotton socks, never had to walk with God through perplexity, mystery, reversals, and never once experienced. I mean, never once experienced the perplexing waiting on God to answer his most important prayers. Okay. So, Wow. Now that you're telling me this, I think I can kind of see maybe where you're going. And I just want to remind you that if the thief on the cross was miraculously saved and healed from that cross, and he had to put feet back on the earth as a Christian like you right now, he would have a totally different life and experience. He would then have to begin to learn the teachings of Christ and walk by faith and suffer therein all the way to the end. Please, brothers and sisters, go back. Look at this again. Do you have the seven marks or blessings that Jesus promised to all of his true followers? Maybe you've begun to see that you haven't yet been in possession of those. And now we're at this place where we see that there is fullness in Christ. There is so much more to experience in our relationship with him, so much more in holiness to have of him, so much more in faith, so much more in obedience, that God is indeed calling you to leave base camp. God is calling you to leave the lowlands of counterfeit, worthless, powerless, disobedient Christianity. For me, this happened in 2009. So now in 2007, that seed of Jesus Christ, the desire for God, the desire to know God, the desire to live for God, the desire to please God, the reality of having to face God one day, began to stir a tension in me as over the years, my desire to know God more began to compete with my desire for more and more success. And so for me, Dale, what happened was I started to feel that what I read in Scripture and I read about Jesus Christ and the life that he calls us to was not in line with the life that I was pursuing. I moved out of my selfianity, very comfortable, what I often call couch Christianity, to the cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking Christianity.
And in 2007, I found myself to the point where the tension reached a level where I could no longer ignore it. I was torn between God and success, and I knew something had to happen.
All these years later, what looked then like a terrible risk, some foolishness on my part, has turned out to be so glorifying to God. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. To 2009 is 20 years nearly of me calling myself a Christian, and then God finally opened my eyes so that I too could see the summit and be called to higher ground. So now you've seen the summit like me. Perhaps you have some fears, some anxieties. What is this going to be like? I've seen already in just the few videos I've put up, a few people have indicated that they too see the summit. They know they want to go. They know that Jesus is calling them to go there, but there is naturally the fears. What am I going to suffer? What am I going to experience? We are going to address that as best as I possibly can without making the video too long in the very next stage. As much as I would love for us to just hit the mountain now, there's these necessary, required, preparatory stages that we have to continue to go through. The next one is going to be about this very thing, about counting the cost. And I'm going to seek to paint the picture as absolutely best as I can of how difficult it is. Jesus never hid the true cost of being his follower, although it's hidden in the modern church, although it is not talked about at all amongst those who call themselves Christians today in the buildings that we call church. It is not hidden in Scripture. It is there in plain sight for us to see that God, having not changed, his ways having not changed, his principles having not changed, his word having not changed, his demands having not changed, and neither have his promises changed. It is difficult, brothers and sisters. There is a reason why the disciples said to Jesus several times, "Will only a few be saved, Lord?" There is a reason. The same God, the same Jesus, the same human flesh that was in play in that story, they're all at play in our story, in my story, in your story. There is difficulty. We're going to talk about that in the next chapter. But let us remember, I got through the cost, and many multiplied millions before me have as well. They reached the summit. They reached the fullness in Christ, and they yelled back to us, "Come on, brother or sister, it is worth it. It is so worth it." You're going to find that to be the case as we go through the series. Please, even if you're afraid now, please, even if you're having some anxiety in the next step, please just continue to watch with me and see if between the words of God that come out of my mouth and the Holy Spirit working in your heart and the stories and testimonies that you'll hear from other people along the way, if it might not be that God gives you that push, that you find that courage to trust him, to leave base camp behind. It'll be costly, but it is going to be oh so worth it.
Michael has put out video after video with so many principles. This walk that he has walked, that so many of us walk and we kind of flounder around and we don't understand. And by watching the videos and listening to the recordings, it's long hours, but it's well worth it. I felt like, my goodness, if he can live through something like this, and God help him, why can't he help me? I always believe it for other people, but why don't I believe it for myself?
I can't wait to see you on the very next stage. Thank you for taking this journey with me. I'm really, really excited about sharing these videos, this parable, if you will, with you, and to share as I reflect back on some of the stories and lessons from my own life that I can give to you, perhaps as stepping stones on the old lost trail, following me right up to the top. I'll see you on the next one. God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ.